some headlines so Leroy can tell us this breaking news. Headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia. You always pay less with your Priceito at Doral Kia. You can visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com.
And what will make Tobin extremely happy?
Yes.
Terry Rozier will forfeit most of his $26.6 million deal.
That is right.
But you know what he wants.
He wants either that money back or a pick back.
He wants the pick. He don't care about the money.
I'll take a little money, though. You know, that always helps. But
How does that work towards the cap?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
It does not. You just get 26. You just don't have to pay $26 million because I'm doubting they sent him the money and now they're asking it for it back, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you're going to have to Venmo that back to me.
I have a hard time believing.
Yes.
I have a hard time believing that somebody didn't know that these allegations or charges were coming. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, Adam Silver.
Like, the NBA, when this trade happened, the NBA is kind of making it sound like everything was good. He's been cleared. And if the NBA said that, and the NBA said he was cleared, and he wasn't, then that's shame on them too.
Well, you know, obviously we know that the Miami Heat were screwed by the NBA. This update is hopefully pushing things in something a little bit more favorable for the Heat. Like Leroy just said, NBA player and a thief. All right, he's not a thief, but, you know, you get it. Terry Rozier will lose most of his $26.6 million salary for the 2025-2026 season. Rozier was originally prohibited by the court from contacting any team members of the Miami Heat or of the Charlotte Hornets, including players, coaches, medical staff, Bernie, I'm assuming. The Heat have since been removed from that restriction, but the Hornets remain. And this was the actual, this was from the lawyer. Under the current ruling of the arbitrator, in an inability to play for or against the Charlotte Hornets would constitute a failure to perform services by Mr. Rozier and substantially diminish or eliminate any chance of being contracted by an NBA team. So essentially, you can't have any contact with the Hornets. How is a team going to sign you if there's an entire team you can't? You got to, like, you know.
Why would he want to talk to the Hornets? The Hornets don't want to talk to him. Our deal is done.
Well, maybe he's still got some connections there. You never know. But the federal government recently added a charge of bribery to the prior fraud indictment, alleging that Rozier sought and received $100,000 in bribe money in exchange for tipping off a group of bettors about his plan to exit a March 2023 game early due to an injury. $100,000.
Because he gave up $26 million to get $100,000.
Isn't that crazy?
Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world.
Yeah, I agree. Right?
But I will say, this is crazy. This monetarily, it doesn't make sense. If you like money, it don't make sense.
Yeah, but I mean, he may be in some hot water, man. He may have some gambling debts of some sort. We just saw
$26 million, though. He could take care of all that. Like, again, there is no world where you would risk $26 million to take $100,000.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But sometimes, you know, you don't think about what's at stake. You
think about what's in front of you. Think about this. Let's be realistic.
Yeah.
If you had some kind of gambling debt.
Yeah.
Say you had a gambling debt of $1 million. Right?
Yep.
You're getting paid $26 million. It's guaranteed.
Yeah.
You can go get a loan. You're getting $2 million a month. You can pay that in 30 days.
Yeah, and honestly,
it doesn't make sense
What if the mob now, comes to
that's
you?
That's also to add if the money he has zero in the bank account.
What if the mob comes to you and goes, we don't want $1 million. We want something else.
Oh, what do they want?
But this is all because he owed them money. So if you give them their money, we're done.
What if the mob says, we don't want the money. We need you to do something for us to pay us back.
Oh.
Here's
a picture of your mother. Here's a picture of your family. Here's their address. Now, okay. Are you going to sit out of that game or not?
Here's what I would say, Dan. Then the start of this, you didn't weigh your options.
We're not saying he was a smart guy.
I didn't make that much in my whole career. Not even close. I think I didn't even make a tenth of that. Boy. But I would say this. At no point in time would I risk losing any part that I was going to get with some foolishness. Because guess what? He's only around, 30, 31?
Tarot's here. Let's see.
He might be able to get another contract for $100 million. Right?
Well, I mean, not the way he was playing. Terry Rozier is 46. Oh, he looks good for his age. No, he's 32.
32.
Yeah.
So who would say he can get 5 more years? Say in 5 years he can make another 100 million. Like, do you understand over 100,000? So I get what you're saying, Dan, that he might have got caught up into something and money wasn't even the option. Right? The reason why I fall back on that is because his boys were involved, right? So if it was just the mob, then it would be on the down low. But the fact that he included his boys and whatever, you see what I'm saying? You going just dipping deeper and deeper into stupidity.
Yeah, I like the fact that finally, you know, the NBA is finally doing something about it. But am I going to get my pick back, bro? We were robbed. They bet us over their lap, gave us a spanking, and sent us to sleep with no dinner.
And that is the problem. The problem is that in order to make this right, if the league don't want to give them back their first round pick, and don't want to reverse the trade, right? Then the Heat should get that money against their cap. Right?
Heard it here first.
They should get that money against their cap. Because otherwise, to be honest with you, you could sue the league, and I know they're not going to do this because they're all partners. But who's to say, why wouldn't you sue the league and say, how could you not know? This is what you're in business to do, to know these things. And you cleared him, so we made the trade. That's lemon law right there.
What if the league was under a federal gag order and couldn't let on anything that would let you
then
know?
Then you don't allow the trade. You can do that. They've reversed trades on less.
They blocked that Chris Paul trade.
Right, they blocked the Chris Paul trade.
Forever changed the trajectory of the New Orleans basketball franchise, Dan.
Oh, man.
So you understand what I'm saying? Like, they could have said no. Even if they weren't allowed to talk about it. They could come up with rules. Like we find ways to explain things. Turn on the TV. We find ways to explain things that make no damn sense.
Give me my money, Adam.
That is the problem here. The problem here is it was a bad trade. It should have never happened, but it did. The courts have said that they got to give that money back. He got to give that money back. So shouldn't the Heat get that money, which, to be honest with you, right? I'm going to be honest with you. I think the Heat had an idea they were going to get the money against the cap, so they didn't argue about the first round pick.
wouldn't you? Yeah, you, usually for the most case, you'd be better off getting $26 million back than a tenth,
a first round pick,
like that.
You see what I'm saying? Because they, throughout this whole thing, the Heat have never said anything, showed any sign of anger, nothing. So what if they knew, hey, we're going to get this $26 million, $25 million against the cap back? That'll help us more than the first-round pick. So we just going to take our second-round pick and chill. It seems more likely, to be honest with you.
I don't like it. I want to go in his office and flip over the table and say, where's my pick, Adam? And then, like,
nope. Would you rather a first round pick or $26 million to go against your cap? So that means if the projected cap is going to go up however much, now you add $26 million to that. What can you do with that?
So where did the Hornets get this pick from the Heat? When does that go into effect? Or is that
this year?
No.
I think they get it this year. No, not. Yeah, they get it this year.
Because we're picking 13th and they're picking 14th.
All right, so maybe it's next year.
Okay.
Because they traded last year's pick. No, they didn't trade last year's pick.
Because I would say, who'd care about this year? It's one pick.
These are all things that need to be known.
Oh, we sent
Bob Buckley said it best.
27 first-round pick.
The only thing worse than making a bad trade is complaining about it afterwards. Well, in fairness to the Miami Heat, the effects of the trade were not good, but the trade should have never happened in the first place because of the situation. And so is it a bad trade because it never should have been a trade? And that's the basis I would argue, is that you're telling me with all the resources that the National Basketball Association has, that they couldn't find out where this thing was going. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or even if there was a hint of it, then say, no, we're not going to allow this trade to go because we don't know where this is going. Like, that isn't that their job? Isn't it their job to protect, you know, all of their members?
That is, unless
the Charlotte Hornets owner and the commissioner friends.
There you go. Conspiracy to bring down the Miami Heat. I'm with you, Leroy. I am with you on this one. You may be onto something, that there has to be, that the only way that this could have been okayed without the NBA's knowledge is, I'm sorry, the only way that this was okayed was with the NBA's knowledge, which means that they purposely did this to bring us down, Leroy. That is an excellent point by you. An absolute excellent point.
No, not going there, buddy. Not going there.
By the way, I found out it was the 27 pick that we sent with Kyle Lowry.
So next year's pick. Okay.
Yeah, and originally when we sent it over, if it lands in the top 14, the Hornets will receive Miami's 2028 first round pick instead.
So it's it's protected in 2027. It's probably unprotected in 2028.
Hey, this guy knows things.
I mean, you can't keep protecting picks.
Yeah, it's true. We're going to protect
10 years down the road.
If that one lands in the top 10,
2057, we got the pick.
finally, we got the Terry Rozier pick in 2057. I want to remind you guys that we have a text contest going on. You know, the World Cup is heading to South Florida, so you want to make sure you got all your swag. And that is why the Summer of Soccer is here. And we're giving away a soccer swag bundle valued at around $250 from Sinbad Sports in the Coral Ridge Mall in Fort Lauderdale. For your chance to win, text the word KIT to 20357. That's KIT to 20357. For more information, go to WQAM.com. This is a text contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. And don't forget, before we take a quick break here, that this weather report we're about to give you is brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting. Storm season is coming. Make sure your home is ready. Get your free roof and window estimate today by visiting tornadoroofing.com. Leroy, what is it looking like at the Windowplex?
It's still mostly cloudy. Winds have picked up from the last couple of days. And as we found out earlier, it's a little bit cooler than it's been. I would say it's still got to be around 85 degrees. Winds are, right now, they look like they're blowing 15 to 20. And it's mostly cloudy. So just look for a shower. You know you got that chance. Just be safe out there. People don't know how to drive when it rains.
It's true. 82 degrees right now. Winds out of the east northeast, 13 miles per hour. Humidity low, though. Humidity, surprisingly, only at 57%. Is this, I heard like a week ago that there was a cold front coming this way. Is this the cold front? Is this it?
Could be. It got cooler.
Last night, I walked to the gym at like 1 in the morning.
Our in-house meteorologist. Is that the cool front? Could be. It got cooler. Man, hey, how many years of meteorology school?
Hey, Dan. Don't mess with our thing.
I'm just amazed.
We mansplain it.
That's good. That's good weather right there. Schools out.
No traffic,
of course. And that means it is summer vacation officially. But have no fear, because Tobin took his vacation a week early and decided that he would be capturing animals in Central America somewhere, and he will be back. Yes, I know that is a very weird thing, Dan Day, but it's true. It is, unfortunately, what he is doing, capturing weird animals. But
what part of South America?
I really don't even know, dude. I thought he was going to Peanut Island. I really don't even know.
No, he wasn't going to Peanut Island.
Well, I never knew where he was going. I just knew that he would be out and that there's strange animals where he's attempting. And his wife is Cuban, so I'm not sure what they would be doing in the Americas.
And that's not the issue I have with that animal. It was indoors.
That is fair. That is an issue, definitely.
They're going to South America or Central America?
Central.
Okay, I was going to say, that sounds like a very Central American thing, not a very South American thing.
That's very interesting that you would know the differentiation. That's impressive.
Whoa,
that
means
differentiation? Is that not a word?
No, it is not.
Damn. I don't know. I'm still not sure about that.
No, it's not.
Nope. Until I have proof.
Well, we don't need proof. We're going to listen to it later.
Differentiate.
Oh, there's no Asians? what about when you
there's plenty of Asians.
Look
at that.
Look at this animal here.
Inside. That's the thing.
What about
He said it's 1,000% a word, dummy. No, it's not.
Differentiate? Let's see. What did we do yesterday? Oh, Dan, yesterday I began a petition to remove the letter X from the alphabet.
I've heard you mess up a couple of words this week.
And then Brittany goes zebra.
I feel like differentiation. I'm looking at it right now. I'm Merriam-Webster.com. Am I wrong? I mean, listen, it wouldn't be the first word I've ever messed up, but tell you what.
Didn't get a minus one.
I do feel attacked, personally.
You got attacked, but there's, yeah.
Hey, then you know what? We need to go to VAR, and we need to reverse that. And these are the new rules of the FIFA Cup. Where this was just an example, everyone who was listening. You know, we wanted everyone to see how VAR is working. It seems like differentiation is a word. And Leroy owes me an apology.
Sorry.
I don't like that.
You did kind of stumble through it, though.
I got a little while. That's not what we're discussing here. Okay, not what we're discussing here.
So, Dan, you're into the football.
Football.
Do you root for the U.S. or do you have a favorite team?
This is the U.S. is the only team.
Okay.
Yeah, baby. I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win.
No, I'm not one of those. It's like, well, my dad and my grandfather were from such and such, so I cheer for them. But I was born and raised in the United States. But when the USA, we all the way, baby. These colors don't run.
That's what people do with sports too. It drives me crazy.
No, I'm not. Look, I'm not.
In a team.
No, if your dad played for the Peruvian team growing up, then I can understand maybe that. Like your kids, they can cheer for the Browns. They can cheer for the Ravens. They can cheer for the Vikings. Because, I mean, they have a direct connection. But just because you were born in Minnesota and you've only visited there with your grandma once or twice, but you were born here in South Florida and raised here in South Florida, I don't know, man. It's Dolphins. Yeah.
I agree. I agree, Dan. I agree. That's all about loyalty. You know, when you're a real one like you are, Dan, when someone chooses to not be a real one, you don't understand. You don't understand how could they make such a wrong choice. I'm Cuban. Love my Cuban side of my family. Great. Love them. USA, baby. Because I roam the streets of Miramar, Florida. Not of Havana, Cuba, all right? I grew up eating pickled eggs from the racetrack. I'm not going to wherever I need to elsewhere. So my wife, however, you know, she actually lived in Nicaragua. So I guess if she wants to cheer for the Nicaraguan baseball team, cool. But my son, though, USA, USA. That's how you do it, baby. That's how you do it. I can't keep track of MLS, and I think the amount – their schedule is just ridiculous to me. I'm not going to lie to you. I can't keep up with it. Sometimes they break for this. They break for that. This is a good reason why they're breaking, and this is a time where I lock in. I actually was able to attend I didn't attend a game. I was in Colombia for not the most recent Qatar World Cup, but the World Cup before that. And the way that these countries treat these games, the entire country stops. Like, you know how a town stops for a Texas high school football game?
Right.
It's the same way, but for the entire country, dude. Like, it really is a magical moment when this World Cup gets going. And, you know, it could be because it's once every 4 years, but this stops the world like no other. I will take a quick break here, and when we come back, we will discuss the Miami Dolphins and hear from head coach Jeff Hafley, as I want to break down whether or not what he's saying is coach speak or I should actually be happy about the direction that the Dolphins are heading. Now, I mentioned before we went to break that we were going to be discussing some Miami Dolphins and playing some of those audio clips our boy Dan Day was kind enough to listen to and cut. We appreciate it, and we will reward your efforts by listening to the Dolphins coach. Now, obviously, you've had an opportunity to hear these because you're the one who cut them. I haven't yet, and I've actually been, I got to be honest, as a scorned Miami Dolphins fan, I have been hands-off the Miami Dolphins this entire offseason. I have, from a distance, admired the moves they made, other than passing up on Ruben Bain. Although I do appreciate the fact that we did get, you know, a stud offensive lineman. I personally would have appreciated the Ruben Bain pick because it not only would have filled a void, but it also would have been that hometown juice that me personally, I probably would have been more attracted to as a fan. And I feel like a couple other Dolphins fans feel the same. With that being said, I'm comfortable with the pick. I like the way we've been drafting. I like the moves that we've made thus far with the personnel. I like the things that we are establishing in regards to culture. And it seems like Hafley's been saying all the right things. After spending, we'll say the last two tenures, because it kind of went polar opposites. Mike McDaniel was based off of you and then football, and then, you know, 9 hours later, we'd finally get a response. Meanwhile, Brian Flores is like, hey, what do you think about Tua? And he's like, he's a quarterback. You know, so we kind of had someone who was very short with their words under the Belichickian kind of tree. And then we had someone who was just wouldn't shut the hell up when we just needed him to say one thing. Now we're kind of in the middle here with Hafley, And obviously that's a breath of fresh air and he's saying all the right things, but it's kind of still early for me as a scorned Dolphins fan to really buy in. But the more I begin to peek and pay attention, I understand the roster is not where it needs to be competitive in this league. But there are certain things that I am seeing that I am beginning to kind of warm up to the idea of falling in love with these Dolphins again. We're going to hear a cut now in which Halfley is discussing position competition and its importance throughout camp and throughout the process of narrowing down to your best final form.
Team to be built on competition, and year after year, we're going to bring in players that compete with the guys that are here. And I would hope that every player has the mindset that every year I need to compete for my job and get better. I mean, I think if you don't, you're going to kind of just plateau. I think that's the mindset of coaches. I think that's the mindset of players. I think when you got to be pushed.
Competition, Leroy. Halfley there discussing that he feels his team should embrace and be built around the idea of competing for every position. What do you think of that?
In theory, yes. But the reality of it is that if you pay a guy, you know, X amount of dollars, he ain't competing. You paid him because he already competed. So, for example, who's Achane competing with? Right? That's just facts. Now, you can do that with young guys. You can do that in a quarterback room because nobody's making 50, 60 million. But the whole thought behind it is every time you go on the field, you want guys who are going to compete. You don't want guys who get comfortable. And that shows on Sunday, regardless of how much money you make, regardless of what your draft positioning is. If you're a competitor, for example, and I'll give you a perfect example. Do you have any question that if Reuben Bain were to make $50 million a year, he wouldn't go out there and compete on every play?
No. If you were to ask me, do I think he'd become a fat cat? I do not.
That's the point behind the comments. The points behind the comments are, and I say this all the time, we look at professional athletes and like to tie them into that money. But we were competitors first. You compete with your friends. You compete with other teams. You compete with your buddies. Like, I go to the gym with my daughter and I give her a head start and we run in the pool, right? And no, she ain't getting no W. You got to earn it. Because sure. I've been built like this my whole life. I can't help it. Yeah. I take my son, we play basketball. Right? He's like, why are you going so hard? Because I ain't going to lose.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's something different.
It's something that's in you, which is part of the reason why I have a problem with tanking. Because it defeats your purpose. Right? It's hard to undo that bell. And if you look at Philly, you look at teams that have done the process, one of the reasons why it's so hard for them to turn around, even though they get a lot of talent, is because they have set in that organization that it's okay. You know, that's the one thing the Heat do pretty well. They know they're not talented enough, but that don't stop guys from going out there and competing because that's how the organization is built. We're built on competition. We're built on, you know, going out there and fighting and scratching and clawing for everything. And I think that's why you go into it with that attitude. And guess what? Even for your star players, during the course of a practice or a game or a scrimmage or whatever, you come up with ways to make them compete. You know, in football, this Bill Belichick might go to Tom Brady and say, you ain't complete one of these passes in a month. Right? Now.
Yeah.
As a competitor, you're like, okay, that's enough of this. Like, that's kind of how it goes. When you watch the NBA Finals, right? Talent versus competitiveness. Like, we look at Wemby and we look at the San Antonio Spurs and we go, man, they're very talented. But you look at the Knicks and how they play and how they do things. Man, they look competitive from top to bottom. Right? It just seems that how they play, the effort in which they put into every single play, they look extremely competitive. And so they have talent, but they're also extremely competitive. That's where you're trying to get to. You're trying to get to that point. You're trying to set a tone for how you're going to do things regardless of your talent level. And then when the talent level gets there, you've already set the tone of how you're going to play, how you're going to perform, how you're going to compete on a daily basis. But that starts now. You can't just ramp it up for the season. A guy has to always be competitive.
Halfley, kind of discussing with you there, also said that it's his job to play the best players, not necessarily who was drafted highest.
Job is to play the best players who give us the best chance to win games. Whether that's a guy that's been here and a starter, whether that's a guy that was drafted, whether that's a free agent that we brought in. I mean, I'm not here to just play guys because of where they were drafted or what they've done. I'm going to play the guy that has done the most right now that gives us the best chance to win.
I've said that to Tobin all the time. Yeah. Like, when you see a guy, and here's what sucks in sports, okay? You have 1,700 guys who are the top 0.1% of what they do in the world, right? Then you have these guys on a team. Fans are quick to call a guy a bum, even though he's still part of the top 0.01% of what he does, right? Why is this guy playing? Why is this guy playing? Why is this guy? Why isn't this guy playing? Because it's that coach's job to put the best guy out there. And yeah. So when you see a guy and you think another guy may be better, well, that coach knows because that's his job. So when we talk about week after week after week, me and Tobin would go at it about Liam Eichenberg. Who else you going to put in? The answer can't be anybody else. That coaching staff knows.
I don't know. After a while, dude, it was literally anybody else.
Wait. The problem is not Liam Eichenberg. The problem is that Liam Eichenberg is your best choice.
Yes, and that goes back to
that's the problem.
Saying, you guys don't get caught up in that offensive line,
right? You like when you watch guys play. We're seeing a snippet of what the coaches have seen leading up to that moment of failure, and let's put it that way: that moment of failure, right? So when we look at the game and this guy's a bum and this guy sucks, that coach might be very aware of that, but go, what are our options? And so it's the coach's job. Every coach has said, it's my job to put the best players on the field. If I don't put the best players on the field, I'm doing the other 54 or 55 guys on the team a disservice. And then you lose the ability to make guys compete. When they can look clearly and say, well, this guy ain't the best option. So when you see players and you talk to players and you see a guy playing, the players know too.
One more before we take a break here. The Miami Dolphins, obviously, during this last tenure, one of the criticisms were how soft they were. You heard former players, you heard analysts, and even players that were currently on the team mention how that was something that they were working on. Halfley wants to see a more physical team. This is Coach Jeff Halfley.
I got a lot of questions. I think in training camp, I think the biggest difference will be when the pads come on, what it looks like when we play real football, how tough we are, how physical we are, who our toughest guys are, our most physical guys are, who's going to embrace that. But that will be the biggest difference when we actually start playing real football.
Leroy, he's saying all the things you say. He is echoing all the things of a real football guy.
It's standard stuff. Where coaches go wrong is where they deviate from that by either letting guys slide, by not putting the importance on certain things, and then it kind of gets away from them. Right? So everybody wants to be physical up front. Like, there ain't a coach that has ever said, I want to be soft up front. It's how you relay that message with either what you do, how you do it, or the importance you put on it. For example, Mike McDaniel's a run guru. So in order to run the football, you got to be some level of physical up front. Have you ever heard him talk about being physical up front? No.
No.
Dan Campbell. Oh, that's all he talks about.
We're going to bite your kneecaps. And
you understand?
Step on your brain.
Both at every point in time have had success running the football.
We're going to snort screws before every game.
But here's what I would tell you the difference is.
We're going to pierce our nipples.
There's certain.
That's too much.
There's certain positions on the field that if they are tough and they are physical.
Yeah.
It trickles throughout the whole team.
It gives them that identity of they're tough.
Correct.
The Steelers, the Ravens.
If your offense and defensive line are tough, yeah. It makes your linebackers tough. It makes your safeties tough. Your corners play more aggressive. Your wide receivers block downfield. Your running game. If your defensive line is physical and tough, it makes your offensive line physical and tough because you're competing with them every day. It makes your running game more physical. So if you have that one unit on your team that is physical, I mean extremely physical, it works its way through your whole team. And just go look at all the teams who run the ball well. For example, look at Seattle. They ran the ball well. Their defensive line was on point. Linebackers physical. It kind of seemed like they became a physical team. It all starts somewhere. When you look at Philadelphia, how they run the football, how they do things up front. Now you look at their defensive line. Now you look at the aggression in the secondary. Right? It all kind of works its way through your team if you have that one unit that is very physical, or your coach emphasizes a certain group being physical.
Leroy, where is Big Spoon?
Work.
All right, well, tell her to leave her job because I got a $1 million idea. We're going to put this on T-shirts here. Copyright 2026. Dan Day, you're my witness. Trophies are built in the trenches. Put that on T-shirt. Trophies in the trenches.
Yeah, there's an original saying.
Trophies are built in the trench. You know how like defense wins championships? Old, too wordy, too mouthy, too many syllables. Trophies built in the trenches. People like alliterations. I don't know if you see that there. Trench, trophy. You tell Big Spoon, you can go ahead and have that one.